If you want to look at your Bible at all, a lot of what we're going to say this morning will come from the first part of the book of Hebrews. Now that's in the New Testament, well through it, and it's a book that is very difficult to understand. I don't even pretend to understand it, but there we are. We're going to have a look at a particular theme which is on the screen there just now. As we were setting this thing up, the bulb in that thing decided to flicker. So if it goes out, I'm going out as well. Okay, right. Thanks, Gordon, for your introduction, and we'll see what we can do. Who is the greatest tennis player in Scotland? Oh, well done, thank you. Andy Murray. And in fact, he's the first ever Scotsman to win a gold medal in Olympics for tennis. He's the first Scot to win Wimbledon. That was just last year, 2013. And we've enjoyed his achievements very much. We were in fact on holiday and able to watch the whole thing, the Olympic thing, 2 years ago. Will there be a better? There's a good question. Will anybody be any better in Scotland in particular, or in any other country, of course that matters, who can do better than that? Only time can tell. Second question I want to ask is, who is the greatest character in the Bible? I think, who was it? I think Thomas had the answer to that for us earlier on. Well, we're going to find out something about that in our study today. There are a number of interesting names in the Bible, and here's three of them: Secundus, Tertius, and Quartus. And if I say those, you say, what on earth is he talking about? Well, actually, what it means in English is number two, number three, and number four. So some of the Roman families, instead of giving them names, gave them numbers, I think it must have been. But in that list that's in the Bible, it doesn't mention a number one. Primus doesn't come into it at all. Why? Well, we're going to have a look and see. There is someone, and that's in the book of Hebrews, and it's in chapter 1 and verse 6, and there is someone, and he is called, well, when he, that is God, brought his firstborn son into the world, he said something. We're going to see what he said in a moment. I hope. He sent his son into the world. We read of great men of God in the Bible, even angels in the Bible, but God says Jesus is greater. He's greater than angels. Let me read just a few more verses from that passage. God said, "Let all God's angels worship him." Regarding the angels, he said, "He sends his angels like winds, his servants like flames of fire." But up to the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. You rule with a scepter of justice. You love justice and hate evil. Therefore, O God, your God has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than on anyone else." So if God says he's the greatest, must be right. And if God says he's greater than angels, that must be right too. So Jesus is greater than the angels. But earlier in that, right at the very beginning of that book, there's another situation arises. Now the picture might puzzle you. It hasn't maybe puzzled you now. And the picture says that Jesus is greater than the prophets. Listen to what it says. "Long ago God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now, in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son." Ah. The prophets And this is meant to be a picture of Elijah and Elisha and the school of prophets. They even had schools of prophets that they taught to prophesy, to preach. To prophesy just means to preach. And they were going out and they spoke the word of God. But the Bible says that Jesus was not just speaking the word of God, that Jesus was the word of God. Now that's interesting. Let me just quote, and this comes from another book of the Bible. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. And then later, a few verses after that, it says, the word became a human being. He made his home among us. We saw him with our own eyes. You see, Jesus was all that God wanted to know of himself. Jesus was the word of God, and he wanted us to know him in a real way, and so Jesus came as the Son of God just to do that very thing. So he's greater than angels, and he's greater than prophets. Those of you who know your Bibles will know that there's one man by the name of Moses. And Moses was the great deliverer. Moses was the man who led the entire nation of Israel from slavery in Egypt to freedom in the promised land, which now we know as Israel. Moses led them across the Red Sea on dry land. Moses led them across deserts for 40 years. Moses brought God's laws to the people down from Mount Sinai. As their greatest leader, Moses was and still is greatly respected by the people of God, as they're called, as their greatest leader and deliverer. But who is the greatest deliverer? Jesus is greater than Moses. The writer of this book of Hebrews in chapter 3 makes this interesting statement, that Moses was a servant. Now I want to read this out of this version, because in fact it does it in a rather unusual way. Moses was certainly faithful in God's house as a servant. His work was an illustration of the truths God would reveal later. But Christ, as the Son, is in charge of God's entire house. So Moses was a servant in the house, so to speak. That's the illustration he's using. But Jesus is the Son of the house, and therefore he's greater than Moses. The writer of Hebrews goes on again to describe another example in this book of Hebrews. Now this is difficult, so I'll go quickly through it and we'll get on to the easier bits. The high priest. Now the Israelite nation were starting at this stage to find a way of worship, and God had ordained this particular way of worship. And the high priest made sacrifices to God. He also wore obviously quite psychedelic clothing. But Jesus, the high priest, God says, is different. Because when these priests made sacrifices to God, they had to make sacrifice for their sin and then for the sin of the people. You know where I'm coming from, don't you? But Jesus, God's high priest, had no sin. Never did or said or even thought an evil deed. Their sacrifices, that's the priest's ones, had to be repeated often. But Jesus made only one sacrifice. Just one sacrifice. Gordon likes the poster that we put up down there. There's just one sacrifice. Himself for my sin and for your sin. So Jesus is greater than the angels, greater than the prophets, greater than Moses the deliverer, greater than the high priest. God says it, so it must be right. But elsewhere in the Bible, other than Hebrews, and I'm not going to get you to turn to these places because we'll be here all day if that happens. In the Gospel of John, Jesus is having a discussion. And it's turning perhaps more into an argument, because there's crowds of people there and they're questioning Jesus and this, that and the next thing. But one of the questions they ask is, who are you? Are you greater than our father Abraham? And listen to the answer that Jesus gives. Now this is quite an astonishing answer. Before Abraham was, I am. Now that doesn't sound like good English, does it? But I am was a title of God. Before Abraham, I am. Laura showed you that little, looked like a blind, didn't it? It said on it, Everlasting Father. Father of Eternity is another translation of that. Jesus Christ is greater than Abraham. Abraham's name actually means father, but Jesus was greater. He was claiming, as he said that to these people, that he was in fact God, greater than Father Abraham. You see, when Abraham was an old man, God promised him something. He said, Abraham, look at the stars. We've got somebody here who's just come back from a holiday and she saw green things in the sky, the northern lights. Well, that's not the northern lights, but it's the stars. And Abraham, can you count those? Well, obviously, if you look up stars in Peebles, it's difficult because there's often a lot of clouds about. But in Palestine, there never were clouds anyway. And they could do this any night. Abraham, look at those stars. And as you look at those stars, I'm going to tell you something. Abraham, you're going to be the father of a multitude that you can't count. Wow. Is that right? An old man. Past having children. Not only an old man, but he was a man who was going to die one day. Couldn't possibly in his lifetime have that. He didn't have a son. Not at the time that God spoke to him. But God had plans. And he said, Abraham, you are going to be, well, today the Jews claim him as their father, rightly so, because there is a lineage down there. The Arabs claim him as their father as well, through another son, Ishmael, that he had. But Jesus is described in the prophecy of Isaiah that he is Father of Eternity, Father of everything. Jesus is greater than Abraham. One day, Jesus was travelling through hot, unfriendly country with his friends. They came to a well and he sat down on it, probably absolutely exhausted. His friends went to the local village to buy food. And a woman came to the well. Wrong time of day, but she did. And she came to draw water. Jesus, I think, knew before he left on that journey that that woman needed what he had to say. And he went on that journey deliberately. He was going into what we would call enemy territory, in fact, to do this. And she asked for a drink. He asked first of all for a drink. And Jesus suddenly said to her, listen, I can give you living water. Living water. Oh, but she says, this well. And she said, look, way back nearly 1700 years of history now, way back to the day when Jacob, there he is, Jacob built wells. And there, all those years later, Jacob's wells were still there. Sometimes the enemy filled them in and they sort of had to redig them But there they are, there's Jacob building his well, his sheep are needing water, and he's got to get down there into it. Now, when that happened, that woman was being confronted with Jesus sitting by the well side saying, I can give you something better than what's down in that well. Because that water down in that well, well, if you're thirsty, as I am, it'd be nice, it'd be lovely, it'd be refreshing. It comes from way down in the earth, it'll be cool. Not in the teenage version of cool, but you know, the water can be cool. But there we are. But I can give you living water, and you will never be thirsty again. Well, she couldn't make out what he was trying to get at all, but she was beginning to realize who he was. Someone who is greater than Father Jacob, who did that. And she was beginning to recognize that he could give her something which we call in our Bibles, and we so frequently done, eternal life. Something that could well up inside her and would be with her forever. Jesus, greater than Jacob. Jacob can give ordinary water. Jesus can give living water. How's my time? We're not doing too badly. Good. Do you want another one? Here we go. Wow. Don't see a person now. You see a lot of them around a building. Greater than King Solomon. Jesus is greater than a king. Well, we were singing Jesus is King, weren't we? Earlier on as our opening hymn. One said Jesus one day to the Pharisees, who were actually hated him, said to him, one greater than Solomon is here. The man who built the very first temple for God as a house for God to live in, Jesus even said on one occasion about it, or not about it, he did say this, I will destroy this temple and build it again in 3 days. Well, he can't have been talking about that temple, because that temple had already been destroyed, actually. There were two others after it. But what is he meaning? Build it again in 3 days. There's the clue. He was talking about himself as being the temple of God. God dwelling in him. What's the name that we're reminded about in the Gospels that Jesus was to be given? Emmanuel, which is God with us. And so Jesus is greater than Solomon. In fact, the main reason why he said that was that a lady, a queen, had come all the way from Africa to see Solomon and to hear Solomon, because he was reputed to be the man who's the greatest, the wisest man who ever lived. Jesus is greater than Solomon. Then Jesus said something else, and it's about a person that you'd be surprised about, probably. And he's Jonah. Now, that's not the picture you expected to see about Jonah, did you? Jonah was the prophet that God had said, I want you to go to Nineveh and I want you to preach, which looks like he's doing there. Well, we'll come to that in a minute. Jonah was the prophet who tried to run away from God and got on a ship, got thrown out of the ship and swallowed by a whale. But after 3 days, the whale had enough of Jonah, and God caused it to be sick. And up came Jonah. Jonah then decided he was going to go where God told him to go. And he went to Nineveh to preach to them. The message that he was to preach to them was not a very pleasant one. It's God has seen you in Nineveh. God has watched your lives, and he hates what you're doing. It's called sin, that's what the Bible calls it. And what you're doing is wrong. And I want you to tell these people that because of their wrong deeds, I am going to punish them. Well, what happened? Immediately, as the people of Nineveh listened to Jonah preached to them that message, they began to realize God is right and I am wrong. I need to have that sin dealt with. And the Bible tells us to a man, and a woman as well, I'm sure, that they all repented from their sin. That's how we come to God. That's how we come to know God. By coming in repentance and faith and saying, I'm sorry, and I really mean it, and I want to live for you, and I want you in my heart so that that can happen. That can only happen because Jesus is greater than Jonah. Jesus died for my sin. Jesus rose again the third day. That was the clue we had in our last one and on this one as well. The third day. And Jesus is alive today, willing to come into our hearts and to tell us that he will forgive us if we turn to him. Just a few days ago, some of us were off at the Usher Hall, and we heard one of the choruses that I absolutely adore, and I listen to it, and it thrills me. And it says these words from the Old Testament of the Bible: the Lord gave the word, great was the company of the preachers. See, Jesus is greater than Jonah because he's living in others who are now preaching and telling about Jesus. Not just a town or a city, as they called it in Nineveh, but all over the world. The message of the gospel is going out, and there are people here who are involved in doing that, and we honour them for it. Finally, Jesus is greater than John the Baptist. Now, I'm not going to go into who John the Baptist is and all the rest of it, other than the fact that his name tells you that he was a man who was there baptizing people in the river. And the Bible tells us that John baptized in water, but when he spoke to the people and told them to repent, he said to them, you want to show it by being baptized in water, but somebody is coming who will baptize you in the Spirit. Well, there's a difference. Baptizing in water is one thing. It's physical, it's visible. But baptizing in the Spirit is not. And people who come to the Lord Jesus and come to follow him, the Holy Spirit comes to live within them and to surround them and to be with them day by day. It's like being immersed, not in water, but immersed in the Spirit of God. Jesus said about John the Baptist, listen to this, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John. What a testimony to make about John, don't you think? And yet, what John said was even more important to know. Because John said in Matthew chapter 3 verse 11, you'll read it, after me will come one whose sandals I am not fit to carry. Well, what Jesus said about John was obviously surpassed by what John says. But what is God's word on the matter that we've been talking about? Last slide coming up. Jesus is greater than all. Where do we find the Bible telling us that? And here I must read it from the Bible. It's been quoted already in this building several times, and here it is. It's in a book called Philippians, and it's in chapter 2, and it says this: though he was God, talking about Christ Jesus, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, oh boy, I love this bit. Although I love the other bit as well, because it tells me that Jesus died for my sin. Jesus died to bring me into his kingdom and to belong to him. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name which is above all other names. We've had 9 names already. Here we go. Named above all other names. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Shall I repeat that? At the name of, gave him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I close with just a little thought. Have you bowed your knee to the greatest being that this world has ever seen? The Lord Jesus. Because he is the greatest. We love Andy Murray. But do we love Jesus as much and more? Do we put him first in our lives? Have we recognized that he deserves that first place because of what he did when he came to this earth and took our sin in his body on the cross?